survive2thrive.net. That's survive2thrive.net. We hope you'll find the commentary from our hosts interesting and helpful. Steve Quayle will host on Fridays, Hawk on Thursdays, Steve St. Clair, Darren Craddock, and occasional guests on Wednesdays, Nathan Leal on Tuesdays, and Darren on Mondays. These are trying times that look to be getting more and more challenging every day. Our hosts want to keep you informed so that you can achieve optimum health in all areas, health that you will need to survive and thrive in these challenging times. Please keep in mind that these shows do cost money to air, and presently EnerHealth Botanicals is the sole sponsor for this network, providing you not only with information, but also with incredibly effective products designed to bring you to optimum health, your natural state. By supporting EnerHealth, you support this network, and your own health and ability to thrive in these times. Go to survive2thrive.net, that's www.survive2thrive.net, and click on the EnerHealth banner on the top right, or call them at 866-762-9238, that's 866-762-9238. You can also go to their website at www.enerfood.com, that's E-N-E-R-F-O-O-D.com. Many of our listeners are already taking the products that EnerHealth has to offer, and we thank you for that. Their EnerFood product can extend the life of your dehydrated food supplies by one-third, simply by taking one tablespoon a day. In essence, the EnerFood and coconut combined constitute a meal replacement, so that can extend the life of your stored foods. And in addition to giving you energy and nutrition that your body needs, it has a two-year shelf life. Take a look also at the organic Coco Mojo and coffee, as well as our other immune-boosting herbal supplements. There are incredible specials for network listeners from time to time, so be sure to tune in often for important information and great prices. We trust that the information our hosts and myself give on these shows is truly helpful. We want to help reduce physical and other forms of suffering for you, your family, and community today and in the times that are coming. Thank you for listening, and I hope you enjoy tonight's show.
Well, hello, 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 my friends. You're listening to the Watchman's Cry program here on the Survive to Thrive Network. My name is Nathan Leal, and today is Tuesday, February 15th, 2011, the year of our Lord. And for those of you that are taking notes, the website is watchmanscry.com. And today, I do have a very serious message to deliver. Those that are wise will listen and even take some notes. Why? Because the wheels are in motion. They are turning. There is a mighty transaction taking place right now. And this transaction is divine in nature. And it is arriving in several episodes. And these episodes will play out in chapters that will have an outcome. My friend, I can assure you that the outcome is certain. And for those that desire specifics, the divine transaction is called judgment. My friends, please make no mistake. The present saga that is occurring on world headlines right now, in cities across America, across Australia, across Europe, these things are not coincidental misfortune. What is happening today is not just an incidental setback of the world's economy. No, my friends. The plantation of earth is presently harvesting a crop, and it contains the bitter yield of judgment. And on this program, we talk about these things. Those that are mindful will seek to understand what we are facing in our future. The wise ones will pursue knowledge of why these things are happening, so that they can be situated in God's mercy to endure. And many of those who are blind reject the message of judgment. They resist the knowledge of why is this happening. And sadly, to resist the contents of this information is a very bad decision, because it leaves the scoffers in the dark. And you know, folks, it's hard to see when your eyes are closed. Folks, today I have a very important message to deliver on this program. Not everyone will listen, but at least, my friends, try to share this warning. I invite you to take notes. If you have to listen to this program more than once, please do so, because I believe that there's a very good chance that some very, very significant spiritual things are occurring in this world right now. And there are some heavy-duty things that are on their way. Things are going to change very, very soon, and I'm going to talk about those things in this program. Now, I know that my constant theme is to explain these things, and today will be no different, but I'm going to share a lot of scripture in this program. Now, usually I share a lot of scripture in my Watchman's Cry sermon messages that I also produce, but on this program, I have some important things that need to be heard and need to be shared. So as you listen to what I'm going to share, I believe that they're going to help to explain what's happening in the world right now. So if you can get your Bible, please do so and follow along. If you don't have your Bible, please take notes. At the conclusion of this audio, I want to challenge you to have a powwow with those around you. If you may be listening with some friends, with family, husbands and wives, I want to challenge you to have a meeting and talk about what I'm about to share, because some decisions need to be made very quickly. Folks, it's time to start making plans of final preparation. The window is closing quickly. Very, very dramatic days are approaching us right now. And all of us need to get positioned right now for the next approaching phases of this judgment. Now, for some of you, it may be getting too late. I know that doesn't sound good, but it's true, my friends. Because some of you may have been waiting too long. And if that's the case, then you need to go into a plan B of how to shelter in place where you are. Those of you that still can, I want to challenge you to apply more zeal and apply more energy and sacrifice to your plans. Folks, please don't just be a listener. And if some of you may be thinking that you may be having to move, folks, start planning your move now. Start asking God now. God has already been prompting some of you, but for some reason, you're not doing your part. Now, why is that? I know that there's a number of excuses, but folks, please do not wait too long. I know that I'm sounding pretty serious right now, but folks, we have turned the corner. We're in a new chapter, and some very heavy-duty things are approaching right now. I know that I sound urgent, but folks, we are in very, very urgent times. And according to the alarm inside of me, we all need to be feeling urgent. So I'm going to explain why I'm feeling this way. So let's go ahead and get started. Now, I want to start off by reading a passage of scripture from the book of Matthew chapter 16. So if you have your Bibles, turn to that passage. Now, in this passage of scripture, Jesus was talking to the Pharisees and the Sadducees who were trying to test him. And they asked him to show them a sign from heaven. And he answered and he said to them, "When it is evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and threatening. Hypocrites, you know how to discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times." So, by the very words of Jesus, there are signs that exist. And I'm not talking about signs and wonders. I'm not talking about the Todd Bentley carnival stuff that some preachers will do. I'm talking about signs in world events, signs in historical events, signs that may appear around us in news events. For example, in 2008, how many of you can remember several years ago when the markets crashed and it went down negative 777 in one day? When that happened, that was a sign. It was God. He was letting us know that it was Him. It was His judgment. And that was a sign. Today I'm going to talk about another one. And these signs that I'm going to talk about now are taking place in the events that we are reading in the news. You know, folks, if we had our spiritual goggles on all the time, we would probably be amazed at how many signs are around us. There are constant signs that God allows those with open eyes to see. All through time, He has allowed this. Did everyone see them? No. But God still allows them. Right now, we are in the time of judgment. And God is allowing some signs to be viewed and seen by those that are able to see. Now, the Pharisees are not going to be able to see these signs. Those that are sleeping are not going to be able to see these signs because their eyes are closed. People with rusty hearts are not going to see signs from God. People with clogged ears and clogged arteries, caked with spiritual fatness from unhealthy spiritual meals, are not going to be able to see the signs of the times right now. So, one of the challenges that I have for all of you, it's one of the things that I seek when I pray to Him. I ask God to open my eyes, and I ask Him to open my ears. So I challenge all of you to do that. Whenever you're praying in your devotion time, ask God to open your eyes to give you understanding, to allow you to see the signs of the times. So I want to talk about this very significant sign that I believe is occurring right now. First, I want to say this. In the scriptures, there are many times when a scriptural story or an account will be a type or a shadow to represent something else. Whenever we read about one topic or a place in the scripture or an event, many times those things can represent something else. For example, in the book of Revelation chapter 11, and if you have your Bibles, please turn there. And I'm not going to go into this particular story, but I'm just using it as an example to show that there are terms in the Bible that can mean one thing, but they can also, in the Spirit, mean something else. And in Revelation chapter 11, verse 8, it talks about the two witnesses. It talks about how they will be a witness for God for 3.5 years during the Great Tribulation, but eventually God will allow them to be killed. And when they are killed, their bodies are going to lie dead in the city of Jerusalem. But the Bible also says, in Revelation 11, verse 8, it says, "And their dead bodies will lie in the street of the great city, which is spiritually called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified." Now, right there, that's letting us know that their bodies will lie dead in the city of Jerusalem. But the Bible also says that Jerusalem is spiritually called Sodom and Egypt. Now, why would God call Jerusalem Egypt? What's the reason for that? Well, as we read the scriptures in the Old Testament, and as we read the account of Israel constantly backsliding in the Old Testament and constantly wanting to go back to the way that they used to live, Egypt became a metaphor of a spiritual place. Egypt became a symbolic representation to describe the backslider that goes back to the old way of living. Israel wanted to go back to Egypt, and in the same way, Christians wanting to return to their old way of life is also called going back to Egypt. So Egypt is not just a country in North Africa. Egypt also means the old life, the pagan way. And the desire for this old way is described as the spirit of Egypt in Scripture. Now, why am I bringing that up? Please follow along with me, folks. I'm going to show you something that's going to be very, very significant. Now, in Old Testament Israel, there were times when the prophets of old would proclaim that Israel is seeking to live like Egypt, and their lifestyle is following the path of old Egypt, and their ways are returning to Egypt. Their desire for wisdom and counsel and advice is seeking the spirit of Egypt. And in Isaiah chapter 30, it actually goes into this. So please turn to Isaiah 30, and I'm going to show you something, and then I'm going to explain why I'm saying this. So please go to Isaiah chapter 30. Now, I am not going to read all of Isaiah chapter 30, but I just wanted to show you what it says right here. Now, in Isaiah 30, verse 1, it says, "Woe to the rebellious children, says the Lord, who take counsel, but not of me, and who devise plans, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin, who walk to go down to Egypt, and have not asked my advice, to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh, and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. Therefore the strength of Pharaoh shall be your shame, and trust in the shadow of Egypt shall be your humiliation." And it goes on to talk about how they place their trust in the shadow and in the spirit of Egypt. But this is talking about Israel. Now in the next chapter over, Isaiah 31, Isaiah 31 verse 1, "Woe to those who go down to Egypt for help, and who rely on horses, who trust in chariots because they are many, and in horsemen, because they are very strong, but who do not look to the Holy One of Israel, nor seek the Lord." Verse 3, "Now the Egyptians are men and not God, and their horses are flesh and not spirit. When the Lord stretches out his hands, both he who helps will fall, and he who is helped will fall down. They all will perish together." Now that's talking about those that were living in Israel, who wanted to go down to Egypt for help. God was letting them know that without his counsel, trusting in Egypt is a wasted effort. So who is guilty of doing this? In the Old Testament, Israel was guilty of this. But also in the New Testament, as we look around at the condition of today's church, it's very obvious that a large portion is mired in the counsel of Egypt instead of the counsel of God. In fact, let me go even further and say this. As it says in Isaiah 31, "Woe to those who go down to Egypt for help and rely on their horses and chariots." You know what, folks? As I read that, It sounds like what we see today, when we see Christians relying on their own political remedy to save America. Indeed, folks, I submit to you that those that think they can stop the judgment of God with a political remedy, they're relying on the strength of man, on the strength of chariots. They're relying on the counsel of man. And that's why before the midterm election that we had just recently, I had stated that those appointing their heroes, appointing those that they believe they can place in office to turn this around, folks, this thing is going to play out. This judgment is going to last for years. This judgment has been mandated by God. This judgment has been warned for years and years that it was coming. And the voices of God have pleaded and tried to let people know that it was coming. Most people do not listen. And because today's conservative body of believers are placing more faith in their own remedy than a spiritual solution, this thing's going to play out, folks. And as I read in Isaiah 31, it says, "Woe to those that do this." So, my friends, the reason I'm bringing this up is because I'm establishing to show that Egypt in the scripture does not only apply to physical Egypt. It's a spiritual condition. Unfortunately, this lifestyle is mired in the hearts of many people. I want to move on now. But first, I want it to be established, my friends. Egypt is not only a place. Egypt is also a spirit. So in this world, we have a physical Egypt that's a country. And in addition to physical Egypt, we also have spiritual Egypt involved in the lives of many people. And this spiritual Egypt transcends the entire globe. The spiritual Egypt today is in many countries. In fact, I would even venture to say that I believe that America is mired in the spirit of Egypt right now. Now, I want to give a quick flashback of a story that occurred almost a year ago in March of 2010. And in this story, how many of you can remember that on March the 23rd, a huge 25-foot statue replica of Anubis, the Egyptian quote-unquote god, was placed on a barge and was floated across New York Harbor? You folks remember that? It occurred on March the 23rd, 2010. Now, I want to talk about that because I want to establish that that event was very, very significant in the spiritual realm. And that event actually was a sign to show that America is now mired in the spirit of Egypt. Now, what did that event mean? Well, here's what it meant, folks. On March the 23rd, when Anubis was placed on the barge, there were advertisements that were saying that they were going to do that. And they parked the barge very strategically right in front of the Statue of Liberty, and then they took many pictures and photos of this event. Those of you that might remember, you know what I'm talking about. Those of you that do not know what I'm talking about, you can go to Google and Google the word Anubis, A-N-U-B-I-S, and then type in New York Harbor, and you'll see what I'm talking about. Now, when Anubis was placed on that barge and the pictures were taken, it's very, very interesting that the photographs of Anubis with the Statue of Liberty behind him were very, very symbolic. Now, first of all, Anubis represents the god of death. He's an Egyptian pagan idol. And according to history, Anubis was associated with the mummification and the protection of the dead while they were on their journey in the afterlife. He usually looked like half human, half jackal, or sometimes his whole body was a jackal. And he was usually wearing a ribbon and holding a flail, which looked like a stick, in his left arm. Usually this Anubis statue is black, and this particular one that was on the barge, this 25-foot replica of Anubis, was also black, with a jackal head and a gold headdress. Now, when the individuals who staged this event took pictures of Anubis next to Lady Liberty, the stick that's in Anubis' hand seems to be at the base of Lady Liberty, and he seems to be lifting up her skirt. And if you go and look at the photographs, you'll see what I'm talking about. Now, why is that significant? Well, here's why, folks. Because I believe that on March the 23rd, 2010, almost a year ago, liberty in America was exposed to be tarnished and exposed to be weak and dying. As Anubis lifted the skirt of Lady Liberty, it's interesting that in the book of Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 34, it talks about Israel being guilty of being a generation of people that dwell in a land of darkness because they have transgressed against God. And in Jeremiah 2:34, it says, "Also in your skirts is found the blood of the lives of the poor innocents. And I have not found it by secret search, but plainly in all these things." And as the nation of Israel arrogantly proclaimed that they were without sin, God let them know through the prophet Jeremiah that they had shed innocent blood. And this innocent blood could be found in her skirts, meaning in her garments or within her borders. And today, here in America, it is not hard to see that America is guilty of also shedding innocent blood. And because of the rights of convenience under the mantle of the freedom to quote-unquote choose, Americans have murdered innocent babies. And the blood of those babies can be found under the skirts of America. Under the skirts of America, America has been found wanting. America has been found guilty. America has been found stained with the blood of innocent children who cry out in the night, who cry out from the ground, whose blood cries out throughout the land. So when the statue Anubis lifted up the skirt in the photo op next to Lady Liberty, Anubis represents death. And what it showed in these symbolic photographs, my friends, I submit this to you. On March the 23rd, 2010, Anubis, the Egyptian god of death, lifted up the skirt of Lady Liberty and exposed America as being guilty of the slaughter of the innocents because America loves death. Therefore, the god of death showed up to show that they were now in communion, to show they were now partners in evil, partners in resisting the statutes of God. Several years ago, God had revealed through the gift of prophecy that the dollar is going to be abandoned in America. And when that happened, everything was going to change. And it would also result in a super depression, unlike none we have ever seen over this land of America. And God led me to warn, and many of you know what I'm talking about, that Lamentations was going to come to America. The day of lamenting, the season of grief and sorrow and mourning, where many would lament their situation. And God said, the book of Lamentations, the diary of the judgment over the land of Israel, will become the diary over the land of America. The things found in there will mirror what we are going to be seeing. But I find it interesting that in Lamentations chapter 1 verse 9, it says that Jerusalem's filthiness can be found in her skirts. And if we were to take liberties and say America's filthiness can be found in her skirts, it's interesting that Anubis the statue lifted up Liberty's skirt to reveal her shame, to uncover the hem of her shame. It was significant, my friends. Death arrived a year ago. Now, in addition to these very symbolic gestures that have been recorded in photographs, the date, March 23rd, where Anubis, the false god of death, proclaimed death upon Liberty. It's very interesting, folks, that on that very same day, March 23rd, 1775, was when Patrick Henry gave the very famous speech, "Give me liberty or give me death." Many of you have heard that speech. It was made to the Virginia Convention at St. John's Church in Richmond, Virginia. And that speech played a very pivotal role in convincing the Virginia House to pass a resolution to start the Revolutionary War, which resulted in America's freedom. So March 23rd, Patrick Henry gave a soul-stirring speech about freedom. And several hundred years later, same day, March 23rd, Anubis, the false god of death, lifted up the skirt of Liberty and exposed Liberty as being dead and shameful. Interesting, huh, folks? Now, it doesn't stop there. Why am I saying this? I'm saying it because that was a very telling, significant sign that occurred. It wasn't just a benign event, my friends. But on that same day when Anubis was on that barge and floated up New York Harbor, on that same day, a few hours later, on March 23rd, 2010, last year, Obama did something. How many of you remember? That's when Obama signed his death care bill. You folks remember that? And when Obama signed that death care bill, he signed it with 22 pins made by Cross. He signed his name real slow. He did it to represent the 22 representatives that helped to support the passage of this death care bill. So Obama signed the death care bill that would take away the freedom from all Americans, forcing every one of you to take part in this mandated legislation, forcing us to purchase death insurance from the U.S. government, which is, by the way, unconstitutional. And there is a judge that has ruled that it is unconstitutional. Where it's going to end up, I don't know. But Obama still signed it on the same day that the false god of death was on New York Harbor. Now, here's another thing that's interesting. Later on that same day, March 23rd, was when Obama committed the very embarrassing foreign policy blunder when he humiliated Israel. Those of you that don't know what I'm talking about, we had Benjamin Netanyahu visiting the White House later on that evening, and Obama dumped him to go to dinner and just left him in his office and walked away from him. It was very embarrassing for America, but it also was very telling to show where Obama's heart is, to show that he has no respect for the nation of Israel and our political ally in the Middle East. So those three things happened on March 23rd, 2010. Why am I bringing it up? I am bringing it up because I believe that because of that event, it signified that America is now in the spirit of Egypt. Now, why was that statue in New York Harbor in the first place? Well, it was to announce and to promote the traveling King Tut exhibit that was on tour. And the statue was to show New Yorkers and tourists and vacationers could go view the King Tut exhibit that was on display at Discovery Times Square. Now, it was a PR campaign for that exhibit. However, in the spiritual realm, it showed that America is entwined in that spirit of Egypt. Now, some of you may say, well, Nathan, that's just your opinion. No, my friends, it was beyond coincidence that all of these things happened on March 23rd. And those of you that are taking notes, when you have a chance, when you're finished listening to this program, make a note to Google and read about this event. So in the spiritual realm, I believe that God was showing and allowing this very significant sign to be on display, that America had now illustrated herself with the spirit of Egypt. Now, that was last March 2010. Next month, it's going to be 1 year when that happens. So, you know, folks, I'm curious if anything else is going to happen this coming March 23rd. I don't know. God hasn't said that something is going to happen, but I'm just throwing that out there. It's interesting that so much happened last year. Now, since then, since that event happened last year, a lot has occurred in the last 11 months. Folks, you know that this is true. Those of you that study current events can attest that many things have happened since then, and we're just getting started. At the beginning of this year, on January the 1st, 2011, we can also observe that this world entered a new era because the animals that were dying, the fish that were dying, the beasts of the field have now become news stories. And real quickly, I want to make note of that. So if you're taking notes, also make note of that. In Hosea 4:3, we are told in the scriptures what happens during this season. Hosea 4:3, it says, "Therefore the land will mourn, and everyone who dwells there will waste away, will languish. With the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, even the fish of the sea will be taken away." Now, I have read that verse several times over the past few weeks, but I want to also make note of this, my friends. That is not the only place in Scripture where we can read about these creatures dying. If you quickly turn to Zephaniah chapter 1, and that's a few books past Hosea, or you can just write down the reference. In the book of Zephaniah chapter 1, verse 2, let me read this here, folks. Look what it says. "I will utterly consume everything from the face of the land, says the Lord." Now, this is God talking. He's going to consume everything. "I will consume man and beast. I will consume the birds of heaven, the fish of the sea, and the stumbling blocks along with the wicked." So in addition to those creatures, also stumbling blocks are going to be consumed. "I will cut off man from the face of the land, says the Lord." Now, that's another verse that also signifies God judging the land. Now, the reason that I am mentioning those passages is because right now we are in the season of mourning. And by the sign I just mentioned from last year on March 23rd, America has been condemned. America has been signified to be enveloped with the spirit of death. And now here we are in mourning. Mourning comes after death. So America died last year, and now the land is mourning, to show that the land has died spiritually. Folks, these are significant signs. Now, several months ago, I did a Survive to Thrive program where I talked about how America has a fixation with death. And if you go to my website at watchmanscry.com and go to the links at Survive to Thrive, just look at the titles and the topics of the programs and you can see that program. Now, America has spiritually died, and the sign of that black jackal by the Statue of Liberty spoke volumes. So what does this mean? And I have said all of that to now explain what I believe is going to be coming. Now, folks, I believe that very, very significant events are going to be coming to America, and I'm going to show you in Scripture why I believe that. It looks like we've reached the break, so after the break, I'm going to talk about these things. I'm going to share some things that I believe that are coming. You're not going to want to miss it, folks. We'll see you in a few minutes.
Now, we're going back to the Health Ranger, and one of my sales guys pointed this out. They go, you know, the Health Ranger really loves Interfood, and it won their best superfood 2009. And so, you know, ask him what he thinks about it, but I'm putting him on the spot here. But I remember about 5 years ago, I got some of this sent to me, and I was so busy, I didn't even call them back because they wanted to be sponsors. But years later, we came back. My wife loves it. It's two little scoops in the morning in water or juice. You drink it, and it's 20 superfoods at once, and that way you absorb almost all of it. Even with the best vitamins and minerals, a lot of it gets passed through you, and you've got a lot of specials there on the site for Alex Jones listeners. Interfood.com or 866-762-9238, 866-762-9238, Interfood.com. And give us your brief take on Interfood.
I did give it an award, an Editor's Choice Award. It's the real thing. And not only is the product really great, but the company's great. The people there are great. They get it. You know, they understand nutrition. They understand what's happening with the world, and they want you to be nutritionally prepared. And, I mean, that's the bottom line with this product. It's I use it.
Well, I know my wife gets upset when she runs out.
Yeah, it's really that good.
Yeah, she's a lot more health conscious than I am. I mean, I try to be. I mean, compared to the average American, I guess I'm okay, but I do have a lot of bad habits. But I noticed that when I first started taking it, I mean, it was almost like a drug or something. I mean, there's no speed, no caffeine in it, but it's almost like jolting to have real nutrients.
It makes you alert without any kind of caffeine type of buzz. No stimulants whatsoever. It just basically clears out your system. And it makes your brain and body function better. You know, I mean, superfoods are really powerful for doing that. And with Interfood, he's combined a lot of the best ones in the world. I don't give out a lot of awards. You probably know that.
And the key is they don't pasteurize it either, so it doesn't lose the...
Yeah, exactly. So you've got the nutrients that are destroyed by heat. In Interfood, they're not destroyed. They're intact. And that makes all the difference.
Absolutely. Okay.
Welcome back, folks. Nathan Liao here. The website is watchmanscry.com. Before the break, we were talking about how America has the spirit of Egypt encrusted upon her and within her. Now, here's a question. Are there prophecies in the scripture about Egypt in the last days? Yes, there are. In the last several weeks, we have been trying to understand the turmoil and the riots and the revolt that's happening in physical Egypt. We've been watching those stories on the news. Many of you may be wondering, what's next for Egypt? What's going to happen over there? Many of us have heard the threat that the Suez Canal could be shut down. And if that happened, oil prices would double overnight. We have also been discussing and asking the question, who is the new leader of Egypt going to be? Will he be peaceful toward America, toward Israel? Will he honor the peace treaty that was signed in the 70s that Egypt has with Israel? These are all good questions, and these are all things that we're wondering about. But those questions should not stop there, because right now I wish to submit something else to you. In one hand right now on this earth, we have physical Egypt. We have political Egypt that's in the Middle East. But in addition to physical Egypt, we've just mentioned that we have spiritual Egypt mired throughout the entire planet. So we have two Egypts right now, a physical and a spiritual. Now, hold on to that thought. Now, I have been seeking God and asking Him to help me understand these things. Now, last week, I shared some of the prophecies that we have to keep our eyes on, and I shared that if we see some of these things happening, then possibly we are seeing them being fulfilled. So, right now, turn to Isaiah chapter 19. Many individuals have been sharing with one another, and I've read these passages lately on many forums all over the internet, and I've received emails from many of you. There are blogs that are talking about Isaiah 19, but the majority of individuals talking about Isaiah 19 are concentrating on one particular verse of Isaiah 19. And I'm going to read that verse, but in addition to that, I believe we are not only seeing that verse happen, we are seeing others happen. So in Isaiah 19, verse 2, it says, I will set Egyptians against Egyptians. Everyone will fight against his brother, and everyone against his neighbor, city against city, kingdom against kingdom. Now, as I was reading that, you know, folks, how many of you noticed that it sounds familiar with another passage that many of us know very well? Now, how interesting is it that the protests that started in Tunisia have now spread across many cities and countries throughout the Middle East and North Africa over the last few days? They started in Tunisia, they spread to Egypt, and now they have occurred in Yemen, Algeria, Bahrain, Jordan, and now they're scheduled to be in Iran and even in Libya. So throughout the Middle East, Isaiah 19:2 seems to be happening. Everyone will fight against his brother, everyone against his neighbor, city against city, kingdom against kingdom. Verse 3, the spirit of Egypt will fail in its midst. Now, we can plainly see that the protests do seem to mirror what we read in Isaiah 19. All the Arab brothers seem to be fighting with one another, rebelling, revolting. In addition to Isaiah 19:2, is it possible that this passage of scripture has a double meaning? Is it possible that it also applies to another group of people? And you know, folks, I believe it does, because if you hold this spot right here in Isaiah 19:2, please now go to Matthew chapter 24. And most of you are very familiar with this passage. In Matthew 24, verse 10. Hold the spot in Isaiah 19, but go to Matthew 24. Now, if you don't have your Bible, I'm going to read this, verse 10. Now, please pay attention to how this is worded. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. So it's talking about people betraying one another. Okay, Nathan, that's good, but what are you trying to say? Well, look at verse 7. Go a few verses before that. For nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. So we have nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom. They will betray one another. Back at Isaiah 19:2, it says, I will set Egyptian against Egyptian. Everyone will fight against his brother, against his neighbor, city against city, kingdom against kingdom. Well, that's a little close, but not exactly. Well, aside from Matthew 24, there is also another parallel passage in the book of Mark that goes into a little bit more detail of what we just read in Matthew 24:10. So go to Mark chapter 13, verse 8, and it's the same account that we just read. And there it is again. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. And then if you go down to 12, it says, now brother will betray brother to death and father his child. Children will rise against parents and cause them to be put to death. So now it's talking about brother against brother, families against their loved ones. So back to Isaiah 19:2, I will set Egyptians against Egyptians. Everyone will fight against his brother. Now that sounds like what Jesus said in the end times, brother against brother. Everyone will fight his neighbor, city against city, kingdom against kingdom. So now as we look at Isaiah 19:2, it does look like what we see happening in Egypt, but folks, can you see how it also looks like what Jesus said would be occurring in the end times? People betraying one another? Why am I bringing that up? I wish to submit to you, my friends, that this passage of scripture is talking about physical Egypt. And as we read this, I'm going to show you some things that are happening right now, but we can also read that these prophecies are going to be happening to spiritual Egypt in the last days at the end of time. Now, if you go to the next verse in Isaiah 19, go to verse 3. Look what it says. The spirit of Egypt will fail in its midst. I will destroy their counsel. Now, right there, that is a hint that these passages apply to more than just physical Egypt. They also apply to the nations or the people that have the spirit of Egypt. And at the beginning of this program, I shared from Isaiah 30 how the spirit of Egypt can be enveloped into Israel and into other nations, how the spirit of Egypt can envelop Christians. And then we talked about how the spirit of Egypt, represented by Anubis, the false god of death, has now brought the spirit of Egypt to America. In so doing, In Isaiah 19:3, the spirit of Egypt will fail. My friends, I submit to you that this passage is talking about physical Egypt as well as the spirit of Egypt found in America and in other nations. And that spirit found in America and in other nations is going to fail at the same time that physical Egypt is going to be having its brothers fighting against brothers. So that is a hint that these things are going to be happening at the same time. Now, why am I bringing this up? Because by reading this passage, I believe that we can see what is going to be coming in the future to physical Egypt as well as to America and to other nations of the world that are mired in the spirit of Egypt. Now, let's move on. Now, to show that this passage in Isaiah 19 is occurring right now in physical Egypt, I find it interesting that there are some things in here that we can find in recent headlines involving some events that have just happened. Now, go to Isaiah 19:1. Look at verse 1. The burden against Egypt. Behold, the Lord rides on a swift cloud. Okay, right there, that's establishing that God Almighty rides on a swift cloud and that this judgment is under His control. It goes on, and He will come into Egypt. So this is God showing up. And look at this, folks. The idols of Egypt will totter at His presence. Now, in the King James Version, it says, the idols of Egypt shall be moved in His presence, and the heart of Egypt will melt in its midst. Now, hold on to that thought right there. God is going to shake the idols of Egypt. And I have a story right here of something that just occurred in the last few weeks. Now, over the last few weeks, the nation of Egypt has undergone a revolt, riots, looting, and within days of the riots starting, I believe it was in the first week, it occurred approximately February the 4th, some looters were able to get into the Cairo Museum of Antiquities. And the Cairo Museum is the museum that contains many of the priceless artifacts and relics from King Tut and some of the Egyptian pharaohs. Well, a report just came out recently that says that when the looters went into the Cairo Museum, they stole 18 priceless artifacts, including two gold statues of King Tut. Now, these are statues that are reported to be over 3,000 years old. In addition to the gold statues that were taken, there are other missing items. One of them is a statue of King Tut being carried by a gold, quote-unquote, goddess statue. In other words, it's an idol. It was a mixture of statuettes, statues, idols, and golden artifacts, etc. Now, these idols that were taken, they were from the era of King Tut. In addition to those items that were taken, when the looters were in the museum, they broke some of the cases that had the artifacts, and they broke some of the items in there. They took some of the figurines and threw them on the ground. And so with that in mind, I want to take you back to verse 1 in Isaiah 19, and look what it says there. The burden of Egypt, behold, the Lord rides on a swift cloud, so it's God's judgment, and He shall come into Egypt, and the idols of Egypt shall be moved at His presence. Now, that word, moved at His presence, comes from the Hebrew word, which means to be tossed about, or to shake, to disturb, to be shaken like a tree, to make apples fall down. So in Isaiah 19:1, what it's really saying there is the idols of Egypt shall be tossed about, shall be tossed around, shall be shaken, shall be disturbed. So in other words, over the last 2 weeks, not only have we seen brother against brother in Egypt, now we have seen Isaiah 19:1 fulfilled because the Cairo Museum was broken into and the idols had these things happen to them. The idols of Egypt, folks, and it's God that is allowing it to happen. Now, is that just a benign report? No. In addition to the revolt, now we have the idols being disturbed. Now, is this significant, is the question. Verse 1 says that it is God that is shaking Egypt. It's God that is allowing it to happen. And if God is riding on a swift cloud and He's going to shake physical Egypt, then I submit this to you, my friends. God is riding on a swift cloud and He's arriving into spiritual Egypt, which is America, Australia, the UK, Germany, Spain, Portugal, all of the nations that are also participating in being a part of spiritual Egypt. God is going to show up there, and God is going to shake the idols of spiritual Egypt as well. Now, moving on, Isaiah 19:4. Now, many of you have seen this part of the passage, and many have wondered, who's that? Well, let's read it. Isaiah 19:4. And the Egyptians I will give into the hand of a cruel master, and a fierce king will rule over them, says the Lord of hosts. Now, I have read some people say that out of the ashes of what's happening in Egypt, the fierce king, well, that's the Antichrist right there. So this means the Antichrist is about to show up. Well, let me present something else that is actually happening right now. Now, just this last weekend, just a few days ago, Mubarak stepped down as the leader of Egypt. A lot of people celebrated. Yay, we won. We got what we wanted. Mubarak is gone. Well, not so fast, Egyptians, because over the weekend, when Mubarak stepped down, it did not happen in a vacuum, and someone did take over. And you know who that is, folks? The Egyptian military has taken over Egypt now. And according to the reports that are coming out of Egypt, the ruling military council of Egypt has said that they intend to retain power for 6 months or even longer. They said that just a few days ago. And they said that they are going to schedule elections. That's going to come in 6 months or longer. So that's half a year. Until then, they are going to rule Egypt by decree. They will no longer allow pro-democracy protesters. They are intending to rule by martial law until the elections are held. So right now, the constitution of Egypt has been suspended. So it looks like Egypt has been taken over by a military regime right now. And it looks like the freedom they were looking for, at least for now, has been removed entirely. Now the noose has been tightened, and this story is developing right now as I speak. So it could be changing. Possibly the elections could be moved quicker. But for right now, I would say that possibly Isaiah 19 verse 4 is occurring. So that's the third thing that we can now read. So in summary, so far, what do we have? We have the idols have been tottered and stolen and broken. God's allowing that. We have brother against brother, the revolt, the rioting. And now in verse 4, the military regime has taken over Egypt. So interesting, huh, folks? Interesting that we can read that these things are happening right now. So let us now look at the other side of the coin. Now, I mentioned there's a physical Egypt as well as a spiritual Egypt. Now I want to look at spiritual Egypt. In looking at spiritual Egypt, I submit to you that America is spiritual Egypt. And if God said that the idols will totter and shake, God is going to allow America's idols to be shaken. How is he going to do that? As God rides in on his swift cloud, his hand of judgment is going to shake America's economy. And he's already been doing that. In addition to Americans, this story is going to be played out all across the world. So the idols of spiritual Egypt are going to be shaken. In addition to that, God is going to allow spiritual Egypt to come under the submission of a cruel master. We can already see the wheels turning for that to happen. We can already see that a police state is coming. We can already see that the TSA has risen up and has begun to have policies that mistreat the citizens of America. Now, those two things are pretty obvious, folks. But now I want to go further into Isaiah 19 and let's see what else Isaiah 19 talks about. Because there are some things there, folks, that I believe are very, very serious and that are also revealing the present judgment and what is happening right now. Now, go to verse 5 in Isaiah 19. Look at this, folks. Isaiah 19, 5. The waters will fail from the sea. What does that mean? It means water coming from the ocean is not going to be good water. If it even shows up at all, because the next verse says the river will be wasted and dried up. As it goes on, verse 6, look at this, folks. The rivers will turn foul. The brooks of defense will be emptied and dried up. The reeds and rushes will wither. As we look at verse 5 and 6, the waters will fail. The rivers will turn foul. Folks, right now we are witnessing the poisoning of the waters. The Gulf of Mexico is essentially a dead zone. The Gulf of Mexico has been poisoned with the core exit. And most of you that are paying attention have been hearing that that catastrophe is not over, that the poisoning is continuing. Individuals throughout the Gulf are now testifying and talking about how they're becoming ill, how they're becoming sick, how diseases are showing up. Folks, the Gulf of Mexico is poisoning American citizens right now. Boils and blisters and rashes, skin lesions are not healing. There are people down in the Gulf that are talking about this. In addition to them, we are receiving reports that people are dying from respiratory illnesses. And now, on top of that, we have a lot of the birds that are dying in that region. Massive fish kills along the Gulf. Why are they dying? Is it because of the core exit? Whatever the cause is, Isaiah 19:5 says, the water will fail from the sea. So now we can see that one happening. Now, is the poisoning almost finished? Fresh water is also going to be poisoned in America. And this story is still continuing to unravel and to unfold. And as we look at Isaiah 19, verse 6 says, the rivers will turn foul. So there's a prophecy right there about poison water. The rivers are going to turn foul in many places. And because they're foul, birds are going to die along the reeds and the rushes. Look what it says in verse 7. The papyrus reeds by the river, by the mouth of the river, everything sown by the river will wither, will be driven away and be no more. Now look at verse 8. How bad is it going to get? Look at this, folks. The fishermen also will mourn. Why? All those will lament who cast hooks into the river because they're not getting any fish. They are no longer catching fish because the fish are all dead. All those will lament who cast hooks into the river. They will languish who spread nets on the waters. Now, folks, how true is it that right now in the Gulf of Mexico, fishermen are mourning right now because their livelihoods have been destroyed? And we can see this happening right now, folks. Look at verse 15. Neither will there be any work for Egypt. That is economic judgment right there. So when God judges Egypt, he is going to judge physical Egypt and he's going to judge spiritual Egypt. The prophecy of judgment is not just limited to Isaiah 19. I want to show you something. As we read in verse 8, Isaiah 19:8, it says, they will languish. Well, where have we read that? Mourning and languishing. Well, go to Hosea 4:3 again. Remember the verse about the dead animals, folks? Go to verse 3. It says, therefore the land will mourn. Everyone who dwells there will waste away or languish, as the King James says it. So now, we're seeing some familiar wordings, aren't we? Isaiah 19 is about judgment, no work, languishing, big brother, tyranny, animals dying, poison water. And now we see this in Hosea. Now, watch this, folks. In Jeremiah chapter 12, verse 4, we have it mentioned again about God's judgment. This time it's talking about God judging Israel, but look what it says here, folks. Jeremiah 12:4. How long will the land mourn? Okay, so we have the land mourning. The next sentence, look at this, folks. And the herbs of every field wither. How long are the herbs going to wither? Well, herbs is talking about plants. It's talking about vegetation. The beasts and the birds are consumed. Well, that one sounds like Hosea. Why? Why are these things happening? For the wickedness of those who dwell there. Because they said, he will not see our final end. In other words, the same thing that your friends tell you when you try to warn them of the judgment. They say God would not do that. Now, why am I bringing that up? Here's why, folks. This winter, here in America, we have experienced record-breaking cold spells that have done much damage to the winter crop located in America and in Mexico. And this is what happened, folks. The winter crop in Mexico has been effectively destroyed to the tune of 80 to 100%. That means almost the entire Mexican crop is gone. It's a loss. Just a few weeks ago, a two-layer carton of 4x4, 5x5, or 5x6 vine-ripe tomatoes from Mexico was selling for $6.95 to $9.95 just a week ago. Now, keep that number in mind, folks. Just in the last few days, that same carton of tomatoes now sells for $23 to $26. So it went up from $7 to $23. That's an increase of over 300%. Folks, this is incredible. As a result, restaurants across the country are not going to be able to have fresh produce for weeks or even months, starting right now, folks. This is very, very substantial. This story is significant. This story is an emergency alert. Grocery prices and produce prices are now going to get hammered. Every one of us are going to be impacted, folks. Food is about to get very, very expensive. So, folks, this story is still developing. But when we look at Jeremiah 12, verse 4, as part of the judgment over the land, God says, the land will mourn, the herbs are going to wither, the beasts and the birds are going to be consumed. So when we saw the dead birds, the dead fish, and some of the beasts of the field, the cows that had dropped dead in Wisconsin, in addition to that, we are also now seeing joining the list, the herbs, the vegetation of America is going to wither. This is part of God's judgment. Folks, I cannot say that enough. Vegetation is going to languish, and the produce of the land is going to mourn. I have a report of what I just mentioned as far as food prices going up. I have a news report right here. Listen to this, folks.
Hello, I'm Joe Donlin.
And I'm Tracy Berry. First at 6 tonight, get ready to pay double, maybe even triple the price for fresh produce in the coming weeks. The worst freeze in 60 years has decimated crops in Mexico and the southwestern U.S. News Channel 8's Wayne Haverly is looking into produce prices that seem to be rising by the hour, Wayne.
Yeah, not only are these prices skyrocketing, there is a very good chance that supplies of items like these Roma tomatoes and asparagus might not be available at any price, at least for a while.
What's going on with produce prices?
We've had a double and triple, and the consumer comes in here and looks at the price. It's a little shock to them.
The problem started less than a week ago when our nation was focusing on the Super Bowl and those sheets of ice falling from Texas Stadium. Farmers throughout northern Mexico and the southwestern U.S. experienced unprecedented crop losses. Now devastation that seems so far away is impacting all of us.
Increase, increase, increase.
Roma tomatoes have more than doubled in price since Thursday. Zucchini has tripled. Shoppers like Sylvia Armenta can't believe what she's seen.
Because my money is not doubled and not tripled, you know. I need to buy everything for my son and my baby and my husband. And
these are just current price changes that just come through today.
Produce manager Troy Winterhalter's laptop has been lighting up with price increases from wholesalers.
Peppers, zucchini, cucumbers, asparagus. The whole asparagus field pretty much wiped out with the freeze down in Mexico.
About the only items not impacted by the freeze in the coming weeks will be things grown here in the Northwest, like potatoes, onions, and apples.
The situation is so dire, some stores can't honor certain advertised prices, which were ordered in newspapers long before the freeze.
And now I'm in a situation where I can't really support that ad. And I try to do the best I can as far as letting my consumer know what's going on in the markets.
I've never seen this happen. I've been in the business for 25, 26 years.
Well, produce wholesalers and shippers, they say this is really probably just the tip of the iceberg. Yes, iceberg lettuce prices already on the rise. And don't expect to see any of these prices lower until at least the end of March.
Wow. Incredible. Folks, at the beginning of this program, I was saying that for some people, it's going to be too late to prepare. And I maintain that. Those that are waiting too long, and those that are sitting on their hands, and those that are just sitting around wondering if Nathan's telling the truth, well, eventually it's going to be too late to listen. So right now, folks, produce is getting very expensive. These surging prices are going to impact us in ways that we cannot imagine. The produce is going up. Folks, all of these events are coming together, and the end result is going to be a famine for food. Food is going to be very expensive and out of reach for a lot of people. Folks, right now, none of you can afford to be goofing off. The most important thing that you need to be doing is seeking God and getting close to God. Those of you that might be new to this program, please go to my website, watchmanscry.com, and go to the audio page, and I have many sermons about getting close to God and repenting. So go there and start listening to those messages. Okay, folks? So be challenged with that. Get right with God, seek God, strive after God. Well, it looks like we're out of time. Real quick, I want to say this. This ministry is 100% supported by listeners like you. So if you appreciate what we're doing, we appreciate your support. The address is Watchman's Cry, P.O. Box 157, Priest River, Idaho, 83856. Or you can go to our website and contact us there. All right, folks? Well, stay safe. And we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.